Luke chapter 18, verse number 9. How many of you think the preacher should never gear a sermon specifically at the people who he's talking to? Say, my wife's talked to you, hadn't she? And I said, no, she hasn't. Have you? And I had one actually accuse me of following him around. You've been following me. I haven't. In fact, I try to never aim a sermon or even a point specifically at an individual. But if it's in the Scripture, it's in the Scripture. I mean, if we get to it and you're on that level and it hits you, that's just part of the way it works. Jesus, in verse number 9, it says Jesus specifically designed what he was going to say, arranged what he was going to say by his audience. Look at what it says, verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. They trusted in themselves. So let me stop right here and say this. You cannot get to heaven on your own. You can't be good enough. You can't be aware enough. You can't be intellectual enough, generous enough, kind enough. You cannot be sinful enough, pure enough to get to heaven by your own actions, by your own deeds. You need Jesus. And I say you, and it's the same applies to me. We cannot earn our way to heaven. Or pastor or church can get you to heaven. Jesus can pay your way to heaven. And he paid your way to heaven on the cross of Calvary when he was crucified. And he gave you eternal life by returning from the grave, by rising from the dead of his own will to give us life after death. Jesus did that. And so what we must do then is put our faith in Christ and ask God's forgiveness to forgive our sins and save our souls. We have to surrender our lives to God. That's how you get to heaven. Somebody asked the kid, so how do you get to heaven? He said, you die. Well, that's half true, but you can't get to heaven if you die if you don't trust Jesus first. Understand something. Jesus is going to talk to some people, and he has it in his heart, in his mind, as he surveys the audience. He says, these people think they can be godly without God. These people think they can be holy without the Savior. And so he gives them a lesson. By the way, it says there's none righteous, no, not one. And then finally it says in that verse number 9, and they despised others. You know the problem with people? The problem is that we have a self-inflated image and a diminished value for others. We think highly of ourselves and little of others. Can we see our own faults? Can you see your own faults? Or can you only see the faults of others? Now, can you see the value of others? Even if it's the potential. Can we see the good in others and say, now that's somebody that God could use. That's somebody that God could love. Or do we put other people down? Must others be less so we can somehow feel better about ourselves? Wow. Think about that. Because I'm convinced that it would not be difficult for us to look around and find somebody we could compare ourselves to make ourselves feel better. But that's not how it works. That's not how you get holy. That's not how you get righteous. That's just being judgmental. Verse number 10, Jesus says two men to the temple to pray. Two men went to same place for the same reason. Went to the same place for the right reason. I mean, why do we go to the temple? Why do we come to this sanctuary, to God's house, to the church house? Why? Because we want to draw closer to God. Because we want to reset ourselves, calibrate ourselves to God, and get right, get on track. And so we come to God's house. And we have prayer requests. Why? Because we come to God's house in search of God, to draw closer to God, to talk to God. And so we bring our requests and we let them be made known unto God. As the Bible teaches. Two men went up into the temple to pray. But their hearts were not the same. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, imagine this voice of this Pharisee, I think that I am not as other men are. What's he doing? He's comparing himself to others, isn't he? Let me assure you of something. When you stand before God, God's not going to compare you to me. So you can say, well, I'm a better Christian. That's not... You being a better person than me does not give you salvation. Because we are going to be judged by the Word of God and what God told us we should be. That means there's none righteous, no, not one. In fact, the Bible says that our righteousness, the very best we can do, is like dirty diapers, filthy rags. You say, that's the best I can do? Without God, it is. Because you're trying to do it in spite of God. And so, we need God. Pharisee said, God, thank you. And that, doesn't that make him righteous because he said thank you? You ever heard somebody try to preach to people while they pray? Thank you for making me so good. I'm a better person than he is. I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Twice in the week. Wow. I pay tithes of all that I possess. He's really impressed with himself, isn't he? Think God was impressed? If we're looking for flaws to cover up our own sin, we'll find somebody to compare ourselves to make us feel better. But let's be honest this morning. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only does the Bible say that we have sinned, the Bible says that we do sin. Even Baptists, even church people, even you, even me. The Bible says we're not perfect. So if you thought you were going to come in here today and impress God by how good you are, or you thought you were going to impress everybody else by how good you are, you're on the wrong page. Because when we come into God's house, we come before God, and when we come before God in prayer, we come before God with a heart, acknowledging our sin, recognizing our sin, confessing our sin. How can you confess it if you won't recognize it? You ever apologize to somebody and you say, well, I'm sorry, but it's your fault. I'm sorry I did that, but it's your fault. I'm sorry I did that, but it was you that started it. That's not an apology. How about just this? I'm sorry. It goes a long way, doesn't it? I'm sorry. Now, how many of you ever apologize to somebody and they continue to berate you after that? You said your piece. You said you were sorry. That's it. They can keep gnawing on you if they want to, but you don't have to sit here and take it. We look at the ungodliness of others to make ourselves feel better. And I guarantee you that I could preach on somebody else's sin and get you to say amen, and then when I get to yours, you're going to get quiet. How many of you want me to do that? Raise your hand. Because, guys, we all sin. By the way, we all have sin that we don't want other people to know about. I'll tell you this. I don't want anybody to know about it. I don't even want to know about it, about my own sin. I don't want to do it. I don't want to have sin in my heart. I don't want to have sin in my life. But I certainly, if I sin, when I sin, don't want anybody else to know. But if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't confess it, how are we going to get forgiveness from it? We must acknowledge our sin, go before God humbly and say, God, forgive my sin. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I can't do this on my own. I can't beat these habits or these addictions on my own. I need you. I can't overcome these temptations and these feelings and this attitude. How many of us have ever had, I don't mean you do now, but ever had an attitude? A bad attitude, an ungodly attitude. How many of us ever needed an attitude adjustment from Jesus? Yeah. But we have to pray. If you don't recognize you have a bad attitude, it's going to be kind of hard to change it. And so we go before God and we say, God, help me. Well, the Pharisee is pretty good, Lord. I don't need anything. I just come to thank you for making me so good. I just come to because I don't need to fix anything in my life. I'm already perfect. And when I look at that guy over there, I feel better about myself. But that guy over there is not the one that's our judge. That guy over there is not the one that we're to compare ourselves to. God has given us instruction. He's told us how to be. And this is what we're going to be judged by, not that guy. And then the publican. Wasn't trying to hide or bury his flaws. Wasn't trying to cover up his sin. Verse number 13, the publican standing far off. Recognized the holiness of God. He didn't have an attitude of equality. Didn't have an attitude of making demands of God. He stood way back. He couldn't even approach God's throne spiritually. He couldn't even approach the temple altar. And it says he would not as much as lift up his eyes. We bow our heads and we close our eyes to pray. Maybe get on our knees and bow before God to pray. This publican, this man who in the business world, he probably had a big house and anything he wanted. The new stuff would come out of the store and he could go buy it. But see, that didn't satisfy his soul. That didn't meet his need. It didn't make him all that he wanted to be. Materialism never will. He probably had it all. Deep inside, he was missing something. He came to the temple to pray. And then this religious guy over here, I'll tell you something. Don't ever want somebody to be hurt by the people of this church. Run off by the people of this church for being for some superiority or some piety, thinking you're better than they are, holier than they are. We should never do that. We're going to preach. I'll preach against your sin, and you can get offended. But don't worry, I'm going to preach against their sin too. And I'm going to preach against mine too, but I won't tell you which one it is. We're going to get everybody equally because we all need Jesus. He wouldn't approach the throne. He smote his breast and he said, verse 13, last line, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's it. No more eloquent than that. He didn't stretch it out. He didn't throw any extra words in there. Just him connecting with God on a deep, personal, spiritual level. You want to know how to be saved? On a deep, personal, spiritual level, we cry out from my heart to God's heart and say, God, merciful to me, a sinner. I put my faith in Jesus. I give my life to you. That's how it works. He had a sense of God's holiness and his personal unworthiness. A pastor friend of mine called a couple of weeks ago and he said, Brother, I'm just so unworthy. Well, that didn't shock me because I already knew he was unworthy. But it was not a revelation to me. Guys, we're unworthy. No one deserves God's grace and mercy and goodness. No one deserves the opportunity to open His Word and stand before His people. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn this. God called me. God gave this to me. It's not something I take for granted. And it's not something I try to say I'm holier than anybody else. No. I realize I am unworthy, and so are you. And if it offends you and you say, well, I don't want to have a preacher like that, well, you won't find one that's not. You might find one that'll lie about it. We're flesh. We're human. Born again human, but we're unworthy. And the moment that we walk in here like this Pharisee and look at somebody else, say, I'm better than he is, or I'm better than she is, and I'm doing pretty good because at least I'm not like they are, you missed the point. The publican says, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus sums it up in verse 14. He says this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That's quite a statement, isn't it? This man went down to his house justified. He did what he done. Two men went to the temple to pray. And one left no better than when he came. Think about that. How many times do we go to church and when we leave, we haven't learned anything? We didn't talk to God, didn't settle anything, didn't work anything out. We weren't challenged to go do something or to be better. Guys, talk about unworthiness and sinfulness and unholiness. I'm not telling you to just say, well, oh well, there's no working on it. Get any better. I might as well just do whatever I want. No. I just want you to understand that it's going to be a struggle all the way through. Because we're never going to be satisfied with the level that we reach because we're sinners. And we live in a sin-scarred world. You know that publican didn't compare himself to the Pharisee. The Pharisee says, compared to him, I'm pretty good. The publican didn't say, compared to him, I'm not very good. He didn't compare himself to somebody around him. He looked at himself in light of God's Word and he said, I'm not good enough. And I need God's mercy and I need God's grace. By the way, he didn't aspire to be like the Pharisee. He didn't say, Lord, make me like that guy. Guys, the goal is not to be like somebody among us. The goal is to do whatever God calls us to do. The goal is to be connected with God so we know God's will. He knew he needed God's grace. And he humbly asked for it. This morning, you realize that we all need God's grace. And I hope that this morning, you'll ask for it. The Bible says that if we ask, He'll answer. The Bible says that He'll meet our needs. He gives liberally, generously. So what is it we need to do in our lives? What is it I need to do to get right? Would you right now just humbly talk to God and maybe begin with this, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much. And sometimes in our effort to be good people, to be good Christians, we can fall into the trap of thinking we made it. Fall into the trap of thinking that compared to others, we're pretty good. But then when we look in the Word, we see the truth is we still fail. We fall short. We have disgust and we despise others while trying to inflate our own egos and our own values. God, today, help us to see us as we are. And today, give us the mercy and the grace. Forgive our sins. Save our souls. Make us useful. We want to do better. We want to make a difference. But we can't do it if we think we're better than others. Show us your heart, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. You want me to pray with you? I'll be glad to. Whatever your burden, whatever your need. And maybe you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. You can talk to him where you are. But if you want, I'll pray with you. We'll reach heaven today on your behalf. This is your opportunity. Anything else before we're dismissed? All right. Y'all are a quiet bunch this morning. I bet tonight in the football game y'all will be louder than this. Glad you're here today. Hope you'll come back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Any other things dismissed? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy to dismiss this place.